Good morning, and the Lord's peace be with you. Our text today is John chapter 6, verse 25 to 58, where Jesus declares, "I am the bread of life." Let us read. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Now, the issue here is Jesus, across the other side of the lake, had just the day before fed 5,000 from a few loaves of bread and fish, an incredible miracle. Then he dismissed his disciples to go across on boat, and he stayed to pray. Then during the night, he walked across the lake and was with the disciples on the other side in the morning. But the people didn't know this. So they went by boat across the lake to find him. And when they didn't find him, they went back and found him on this side of the lake. And they were surprised. So they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they answered him, "What must we do to do the work God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." To understand this, we first have to ask the question, what is the significance of bread in the time of Jesus? And so when he claims, "I am the bread of life," what was understood by that? The Israelites, it's estimated, worked 85% for food. 85% of their daily income was spent on feeding themselves. Now, we think inflation is high and food is expensive, and it is, but it is nowhere near 85% for the vast majority of us. It is considerably less. So what then did they work for? It was mainly food to eat. And here Jesus had just fed 5,000 of them with a few loaves of bread. This was enormous, incredibly attractive. And they went to look for him. They went across the lake to find him again. Then they went back to find him again. And then Jesus drew the attention to himself. "Don't look for the bread that you eat. Look for the bread that gives eternal life." So Jesus introduces himself as the bread of life. And so the question for us is, what does Jesus mean when he says, "I am the bread of life"? He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will live. What does he mean by that? Number one, Jesus is the one who gives God's life to us because he himself is God's manna. He himself is God's bread. The day before, as we've seen, 5,000 were fed with a few loaves. He walked across the lake. They went to find him. And this is the question, "Rabbi, when did you get here? How did you get here? When?" Walking around the lake seems impossible. When did you get here? They had no idea he had walked across the lake. Then gotten into the boat and the last mile or so went across with his disciples. How did you get here? Now Jesus' answer is perplexing as we look at it at first. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Do you see, they ate the bread that Jesus duplicated and were filled. They saw the miracle, but they didn't see the sign. Interesting, John never calls Jesus' miraculous miracles as miracle. He always calls them signs. And the reason is, they pointed towards him, who he was, the Son of God, the one sent from God. And so they saw the miracle, but they didn't see the sign. They did not understand what it pointed to. All they wanted from him, provide us with 85% of our income, so we've got money left over to spend on other things. That's what they wanted. And Jesus says, don't look for that food. Look rather for the eternal food. Not for the food that you eat and that you're hungry again. What was needed was for them to turn their attention to him, not to the material things that he provided. Who here doesn't want heaven? Everyone. Who here wants hell? No one. The point is, we can't get to heaven without Jesus. Heaven is the byproduct. Jesus is the product. When I grew up, I was terrified of hell. And all the evangelistic services that I ever heard was, I don't want to go to hell. Have some of you been there? Have you experienced that? And so my whole quest was, how do I get to heaven? The point is, we can't have the benefits of Jesus without having him. No church attendance will give us that benefit. It has to be Jesus. No baptism will give us that benefit. It has to be Jesus. I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't go to church. I'm not suggesting we shouldn't be baptized. Those are products that come as a result of the benefit of having Jesus. Without Jesus, they're meaningless. They mean nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the reason is, the Father has set his seal of approval on Christ and on all those who come to him and believe in him. Then they ask the question that every religion asks. What must we do to do the works that God requires? Tell me, I can do it. I'll try. And where I mess up, surely God is in the business of forgiving. Tell us, what must we do to do the works that God requires? God requires something. What is it? And Jesus says, the work of God is to believe in the one he has sent. Again, he is pointing to himself. I am the one. Believe in me. The Apostle Paul gives the equivalent in Romans chapter 3:28 when he says, for we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Law, doing what is needed, is innate with us. Tell me, what must I do? And I'll do it. And the Israelites were particularly attuned to this. They had the law. We will keep the law. They amplified the law. They magnified it. They added to it to make sure that they wouldn't break any of it. But their heart was far from God. So tell us, what must we do? Every religion except Christianity asks the question, what must we do? And within the Christian religion, there are millions who ask that question, what must we do to inherit eternal life? Tell me. And the answer Jesus gives is, look at me. Look at me. I am life. I am the bread that when you eat me, my flesh, and drink my blood, and we'll get into that in a minute, you will always be satisfied. You will never go hungry. You will never go thirsty. I am the one. Believe in me. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? Now, that's an interesting question. He just fed 5,000. That's why they were looking for him. And now they say, what sign will you give us? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that came down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. 5,000 were fed, and they said, show us a sign. Moses gave us bread. Don't you remember yesterday? I gave you bread. They didn't get it. Point number two. Jesus is the one who gives God's life to us because he does his Father's will. First point was, Jesus is the one who gives God's life to us because he himself is God's manna, God's bread. Now, Jesus is the one who gives God's life to us because he does the Father's will. They still did not understand. They wanted the physical benefits that Jesus would give. They did not see their spiritual need, their spiritual deadness. Jesus points to himself again. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and you still do not believe. And then he gives the reason for this. He says, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. You have seen me, but you still do not believe. We've just read the scriptures. He made 5,000. He fed 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fish. We've seen it. We believe it. We know it's true. What are we? Why is it that some will not believe that he is the bread of life? And the answer is, the power of the gospel is that God changes lives, not we. And he changes them through Jesus Christ. And if God doesn't change them, they aren't changed. What is it? What is it that causes some people to read the scriptures, to be told of the scriptures, and they don't believe? D.A. Carson, By the way, I forgot to say that the outline of this is from D.A. Carson. I want to give that credit to him. D.A. Carson tells the story of his wife. He was in Cambridge studying there for his doctorate, and he had evangelistic studies, meetings, and a friend of hers brought her to the meeting. And they were small meetings. At the end of the meeting, he said to her, "Joy, what did you think of this?" She says, "Nothing. Nothing." And he was perplexed. He said, "Would you read something?" He said, "As long as it's not written by a Baptist." "Oh no," she says, "it's written by a good Anglican, John Stott." So he pedaled over on his bike and brought her the book a few days later. And then he didn't meet her for months. And he happened to see her on the road. And he stopped by and said, "Have you read the book?" She said, "I read it and I looked up all the passages." "Wow." And he says, "What do you think?" She says, "It's for good people like you and your friend, but not for me." He said, "Do you have some time for me to walk with you and talk?" She says, "What do you want to talk about?" "I want to talk to you about justification by faith." And he did. And in time she came to see the beauty and glory of Jesus and was saved. And he says, "How can a graduate student at Cambridge read John Stott, who is easy to understand, and not get it? How can it be?" And the answer is, unless God opens your mind, you remain blind. You cannot see it. They should have understood, because from the Old Testament, the Lord says in Isaiah 55, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you will have no..." Let me read again. "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare." You see, when you eat bread and drink water or coffee or whatever, you get hungry and thirsty after a while again, and you need to eat again. Jesus says, there's a restlessness in the soul that never, ever gets satisfied unless it's satisfied by me. And so he who believes in me, he who comes to me, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will never be hungry again, will never thirst again. Most of us believe that if we get more money than we have, we'll be satisfied. Isn't that true? Most of us believe that. Most of us are struggling somewhat, and we want more. And we're not quite satisfied. And so if we get more, we'll be satisfied. Let me tell you something. We will never be satisfied with the earthly things, no matter how much we get. I listened yesterday, just by chance I came across it, to the story of the Waltons, the owner and builder of Walmart. Fascinating story. Also a very sad story. Here was a man who dedicated his life to building up the largest empire in the world. His net worth was more than that of Belgium and New Zealand combined. Can you imagine that? He worked on his deathbed. Can you imagine that? And here's how he achieved it. He undercut everybody. It's still true. Go to Walmart and you get it cheaper. That's why we go there. But he did it and got ahead by paying his employees a wage on which they couldn't live. The U.S. government fought him on it and he fought them back. He wanted it. Never mind those who worked for him. Tragic story. Never enough. Never enough. What about people like Bill Gates and Jim Bezos? Billions. $100 billion. Do they have enough? No. After a million, how can I make two? How can I make 10? How can I get a billion? How can I make 2 billion? How can I get to 100 billion? Never satisfied. Never. Jesus said, the bread you eat here will never satisfy. Let that sink into us. I learned that when I was in my 20s. Had a beautiful cabin on a pristine lake in British Columbia. Loved it. That's where my dream was. And then the Lord called me into ministry. And it all went away. All went away. That's not where it was. I sold it for a pittance to be rid of it. It didn't satisfy all of a sudden anymore. It was all gone. But the food that Jesus gives satisfies. Number three, Jesus is the one, and the last 2 points are quicker. Jesus is the one who gives God's life to us because he reveals God to us. The second point was Jesus is the one who gives God's life to us because he does his Father's will. This is my Father's will, that whoever he gives to me, I will lose none. Now, Jesus is the one who gives God's life to us because he reveals God to us. At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will be all taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that came down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the world. Conversion is by God's power. The Jews took offense that Jesus said he came down from heaven. We know his father. We know his mother. That's where they live. That's where he grew up. How can he say he came down from heaven? They saw the feeding of the 5,000, but it didn't click on them that this man was special. Jesus pointed out the reason for it. No one can come to me unless the Father draws me. And so the question now is, what is the drawing of the Father? No one can come to me unless the Father draws them. And those whom the Father draws will come to me. And those who come to me, I will not cast out, but I will raise them on the last day. What is this drawing of the Father? It is the wooing of a lover. Let that sink in. It is not the law that draws us. Do this and you will be mine. No, it is the Father's wooing love that draws us. He says, it is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father has learned from him and comes to me. Have you ever shared the gospel and the person just didn't get it, didn't click? He says, that's for you, but not for me. And this is the reason, as we've already seen. How can educated people not get it? They can read it and not see it. It is because it requires the wooing love of the Father. Folks, so many of us, as it has been with me, has grown up under the law. And I tried desperately to do everything that was required. I remember my boss, who wasn't a Christian, he said, I try that, it doesn't work for me. So leave me alone. I tried that, doesn't work for me. Of course it doesn't work for anyone. Didn't work for the Jews. They tried the law, it didn't work. But they didn't know it. But the Father's wooing love draws them to himself. Have you experienced that wooing love of the Spirit of God, which comes from the Father and draws you to the Lord Jesus? And you say, oh, I am such a sinner, but I'm loved. I'm such a sinner, but he's forgiven me. That's what the text tells me. He's given me life. The wooing love of the Father. That is why evangelism requires prayer. Without prayer, evangelism is only walking on one foot. Prayer for God to woo people to the Lord Jesus. To show him the Lord Jesus. To open their eyes. To open their ears. So seeing they will see. And hearing they will perceive. Jesus said, I talk to them in miracles. To you I give the meaning of the miracles. But for them I talk in miracles. So that seeing they will not see and hearing they will not understand. Lest they repent and I save them. Lord, have mercy on us. Woo us to the Lord Jesus and save us. That frees us from discouragement when we witness and there's no result. And that saves us from pride when we witness and there is result. D.A. Carson tells the story of his father who was missionary in Quebec. The fruit there was non-existent. It was very, very hard in the 60s. Now, there were many missionaries in the Congo, in the French Congo. And when the rebellion came and they were all kicked out, they spoke French. And they looked for another place to be missionaries. And so they all came to Quebec. He said not a single one of them lasted more than 6 months. And then they left for greener pastures. You see, they were discouraged. In the Congo, they had built churches, they had built hospitals. There were many who had come to the Lord. Churches were filling there. And now, nobody wanted to hear the gospel. What was it? Weren't they preaching the same gospel? Weren't they reaching out the same way? You see, Carson's father said, he said, I am staying because the Lord has many people here. When we understand the wooing of God, then we are not prideful when people come to the Lord. That was His doing. And when they don't come, we don't get discouraged. Because like Pharaoh, God said, I raised you up for this purpose so that through your disobedience to me, my name will be glorified. Number four. Jesus is the one who gives God's life to us because He gives His life on our behalf. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them, just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Now, this is not talking about the Lord's Supper, folks. Doesn't matter how often it may have been quoted. It's not about the Lord's Supper. We don't eat the flesh by eating the bread. We don't drink the blood by drinking the wine. I don't have time to go into that. What Jesus is talking about is His death. You see, if I asked children here, where does bread come from? The immediate answer would probably be from the store. What kind of bread? There are dozens of loaves. It comes from the store. The Jews knew different. It doesn't come from the store. There was no store. It came from the field. Where does meat come from? It comes from an animal that died. And Jesus is proclaiming here His death. He who believes in me, who is going to die for you, and takes that for himself, will have life. The apostle makes this clear in Romans. Abram believed, and it was credited to him for righteousness, and that wasn't written for himself, but for us, who also believe that Jesus died for our sins and rose for our righteousness. That's what Jesus is proclaiming here. I'm going to die. You're going to crucify me. And that death is for the life of the world. Believe in that one who is going to die and take that for yourself. Believe in me that way and you will have life. Brothers and sisters, that is such a glorious gospel, good news. What did I ask you to do today to have life? What did I ask you to do? Climb mountains? Don't do this, don't do that? No. Believe in Him who gave His life for you. Come to Him. Does that mean I don't have to obey Him? You don't obey him to have life, but the transforming power of God to those who believe is such that they want to obey him. They are new creatures. The Apostle Paul in Romans spells this out. He says, what shall we then sin more so that grace may more abound? He says, you don't understand. Don't you understand that he who died with Christ, I'm putting in my own words, is a new creature, baptized into his death, raised with him unto a new life. We don't want to do those things anymore. A pig remains a pig even after you wash it. Let it go, it'll go back in the mud. But transform a pig into a cat, and it doesn't want to do that. That's what God does. He transforms us into a new life through faith in Jesus Christ. And now it isn't, what are all the things I must do to be saved? But rather, the life he has given me doesn't want me to do things that are ugly and untrue. May God give each of us that life. Amen. Father in heaven, we glory in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that he is the bread of life, who came down from heaven to do your will, to reveal you, to die for us, to give us life. Grant this for everyone, I pray in your precious name. Amen. Let's sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.